Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Tuesday. We're just cruising along here. And, you know, I try when I get off work to unplug. And it never works. It really doesn't. I click on Twitter. I'm so guilty of it. And then I see boom, 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 all these different stories. And what I really do, which is incredibly unhealthy, is I look at it right before I go to sleep. So my blood pressure is sky high. I'm like angry. I'm tossing and turning. I'm like muttering to myself right before I go to sleep. So last night I go on, and I had been looking up the Met Gala pretty much all night because a lot of people know this about me. I started very much into pop culture. One of the first times Howie let me on his show was announcing that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner were getting a divorce. That was a big story Howie let me break on the air. One of the biggest ones I've broken still to this day. And so that's where some of my passion still lies. I've tried to shake it, but there's still a few things that I tune in for. And I always like to see what Kim Kardashian's going to wear because every year she's got something crazy. And if you don't know what the Met Gala is, they usually do it the first Monday in May, but because of COVID, it's been delayed for a few years. So they did it the second Monday in September. So I'm looking up all the hashtags and I'm seeing everything and the outfits are crazy. The theme was like America or something. Nobody ever stays on the theme. They just come out in these crazy get-ups. And it's fun to look at all the pictures. And so I saw that, then went back to watching TV, whatever. And then later, I realized, I thought it was Photoshopped. I thought this has to be Photoshopped. There's no way that Congresswoman, I won't call her young lady, because although young lady doesn't offend me, when Joe Manchin called her that, she was very offended. We will call her Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York was at the Met. And right there, before I even go any further, you should know how insane that is. A socialist revolutionary woman who claims that, you know, we all have to pay our fair share and capitalism is bad and she's fighting the patriarchy. She's at the Met Gala or the Met Ball or whatever you want to call it. It is like the richest, richiest, rich, 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 rich thing in the world. And she's there. A ticket to the Met Gala costs $35,000. Okay? She's at the Met. And this is where it gets really good. She's wearing a white strapless dress. And on the back, I think it was supposed to be like in reference to Melania's jacket from a long time ago that said, I don't care, do you? She has it written in red, tax the rich is on the back of her dress. So she's at a gala with celebrities, with athletes, with designers, with multi-millionaires. And it's a $35,000 ticket, and she's wearing a tax the rich dress. And my mind is just, there's a level of hypocrisy where you need a little nuance. Like you go, oh, well, the reason that this is hypocritical is because of XYZ. Then there's this level of double standard that's so in your face that it kind of takes your breath away, and you start getting like, I don't even know how to describe how dumb this is. But luckily, a lot of other people do it. A lot of people on Twitter were calling her out. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, you know, this woman would make Marie Antoinette blush. I think Marie Antoinette would look at AOC and say, she has no self-awareness. You know, she really needs to rein it in. She's making rich people look bad. And I go back, I immediately went back to when Nancy Pelosi was showing off the Sub-Zero fridges full of chocolate ice cream. And I'm like, compared to this, that wasn't even a big deal. This is really a slap in the face to people. And of course, what's going to happen here, and I'm so glad that Ryan Saavedra pointed this out last night, because it's absolutely true. So Everyone got a hold of this. Dave Portnoy, Donald Trump Jr. And Dave Portnoy tweeted, tax the rich, but first I'm going to go have the time of my life partying with them all at the most extravagant, over-the-top party of the year that is essentially a celebration of richness. And Ryan Saavedra retweeted it, and I thought he hit the nail on the head with what was going to happen. Because as I saw it playing out, I knew exactly what the stories were going to be today. Ryan Saavedra said, just wait. AOC is going to take to Twitter to demonize the GOP and conservatives over the fact that she's an obnoxious fraud, and she will paint herself as a victim. And that's exactly what she did. This is what always happens. It's never the story. It's never the story of someone who claims to be a socialist wearing a expensive dress at a $35,000 per ticket event. That's never the story. The story is Grace Curley's reaction to it. The story is Howie Carr seizing on it. The story is Tucker Carlson pouncing on it or Ryan Saavedra salivating over it. It's never the action of these morons. It's your reaction to it. And she'll become the victim. You know, and then what she'll do is she'll explain like some mental gymnastics about how, no, you're just not getting it. You're not getting how this is actually a referendum of the patriarchy and the money that's behind it. I'm actually making a stand by breaking the fourth wall. No, I'm sorry. I say this a lot. I know I'm not one of the best and brightest. I know David Ignatius. I didn't go to Harvard. I didn't go to Yale. I didn't even go to BU. But I'm calling BS on that. That you cannot convince me with your think pieces and your funky HR happy lingo talk that this woman is somehow fighting the establishment or fighting the wealthy by going to this event. That just doesn't make any sense. So right there. And that's exactly what she did, though. She comes out and she said something like, before people fly off the handles, so she could explain what it was. Before people fly off the handles at me, just know this. Because she's the queen of the clap back, you know. AOC claps back at her haters. And I'm like, before people fly off the handles? Is that code for before people call me out for being a massive fraud? Before people call me out for being a clear hypocrite? That's what that's code for. It's like gaslighting. Oh, I call you out for being a hypocrite, and suddenly I'm the crazy conservative who's flying off the handles. Well, no. And here's the really funny part about it. There's a couple different things, but what Donald Trump Jr. pointed out, which I really appreciated, is he was basically like, I don't even know what part of this is more hypocritical. Is it the tax the rich dress at this very, very fancy rich event? Or is it the no masks? Because none of these people had to wear masks. Like Kamala Harris's stepdaughter, who's a model, I guess, she was there. Bill de Blasio was there. Ugh. Talk about a who's who of people you wouldn't want to talk to. Who else? Carolyn Maloney, AOC, Megan Rapinoe. It was the wokest, most obnoxious people in the world were at this thing. And none of them had masks on. Okay? And this is why it's so frustrating, is because, and I have tons of pieces on all of this. There was a great piece in the National Review kind of breaking down why it doesn't make sense that the celebrities didn't have to wear masks, but the staff did. The people working the event had to wear masks. It's, none of it makes any sense, and you can't tell me it does. So what a lot of parents were pointing out is they see AOC and the interviewer from Vogue is like, look at you, you're a model. I didn't know you were a model. It's, the whole thing is just gag worthy. You know what I mean? You're watching it. You're like, how did we get here? How did we get here? My mom doesn't usually comment on like Facebook or Instagram or anything unless she's commenting on my pictures like, oh my gosh, hello, you're the best. She usually stays off that stuff. She saw a picture of AOC in this dress and she commented, pathetic, really. And I thought, that's exactly what it is. It's pathetic. It's pathetic that we were talking about this yesterday with listeners about how you really do elect the government that you deserve. And I just can't believe these are the people we deserve. That people are this gullible and this dumb to somehow get bamboozled by this complete fraud, and she's rubbing it in your face, and there's still people who are defending her. Well, she was wearing the tax the rich in front of the rich to show the rich that they should be taxed. I'm like, okay. If that helps you sleep at night, you big time losers. It's really, and there's so many different parts of it. We'll break this all down. And another hysterical thing happened. I could go on this. I could make this monologue the entire hour because I woke up this morning and I was like, oof, my cup runneth over. Nicki Minaj. See, this is a real good, I have some VIPs in here right now. This is a really good, you know, intersection of all my different passions. It's like pop culture meets politics. You can't beat it. Nicki Minaj is a rapper. She sings that song Super Bass. And she announced last night that she did not get vaccinated and therefore, ipso facto, she was not going to go to the Met Gala because she's not vaccinated. And, you know, she's got a lot of followers and people were asking her why. And she basically explained that she was doing her own research. And then things went a little off the rails involving swollen private parts. We will get into that. That's a little tease, maybe. I don't know. Is that a tease? But things got a little wonky. But then what happened? I don't even care about that. Like, whatever Nicki Minaj's theory was about why she wasn't getting vaccinated, to be honest, that's none of my business. Like, if Nicki Minaj doesn't want to get vaccinated because she thinks that aliens live inside the vaccine, that's her choice. Like, I don't care. But what made me laugh was Joy Reid does care. Joy Reid took that very, very personally. Joy Reid does not appreciate the fact that Nicki Minaj is not following the left ideology. Nicki Minaj is veering outside the box. And so Joy Reid got mad. And here's the thing about Joy Reid. If Joy Reid came after me, she's got 2 million Twitter followers, you know, and I'm sure they would destroy me. I'm sure they would really slam me and whatever. But once in a while with these liberal hacks on our TV, they're so used to punching down that sometimes they forget and they punch up. And Joy Reid decided to go after Nicki Minaj. And just to give you a little context, Joy Reid from MSNBC, nobody watches her show. Glenn Greenwald tweets out the ratings. Sometimes it's like below 500,000. It's insane how many people aren't watching. She's got 2 million Twitter followers. Do you want to know how many people follow Nicki Minaj? 22 million. So now Nicki Minaj is thinking to herself, who is this lady? Who's this Joy Reid who's coming after me and my character and my intelligence? So Nicki does some digging. And you know what she decides to bring out into the light once more? Joy Reid's old homophobic blog posts. You couldn't ask for a better news day today. You really couldn't. We're going to hit everything. I'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side. 844-500-4242. We also have Keira Davis from Red State joining us at 12:30 to discuss the recall of Gavin Newsom, which is taking place today. That would have been an easy poll question. I don't know how it's going to turn out. We'll be back with more. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
All right, so this was the Met Gala Queen's response to the pouncing, the seizing, the hammering, the salivating. This was her response. She said, And before haters get wild, flying off the handle, New York elected officials are routinely invited to and attend the Met due to our responsibilities in overseeing and supporting the city's cultural institutions for the public. I was one of several in attendance in this evening. As Ben Shapiro writes, this wasn't just a photo op with your celebrity friends. It was you doing your public service duty. Continue to slay, Queen. So not only will she not admit I'm a huge hypocrite, but then she says, you all should be thanking me. I made a sacrifice last night. I was serving the public while I was posing next to Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber. I was doing my due diligence and I was doing my duty. Thank you so much, AOC. We so appreciate you. I cannot get over the fact that this is really where we're at. And it brings us actually to our poll question. We'll get back to the Joy Reid thing because that really makes me laugh. But first, today's poll question is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. Tonight's Tour of Italy wine dinner in Westford is sold out, but there are still tickets available for the dinner in Wrentham next Tuesday, the 21st. Join Chef Anthony DePalma, the Aviva Culinary Team, and Martin Yeti Wines for a four-course wine dinner featuring food and wines from various regions of Italy. To purchase tickets, visit avivatrattoria.com and click the menu and tickets button. Jared, this is a little bit of a longer poll question. What is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What's your favorite Democrat let them eat cake moment? Nancy Pelosi's $12 ice cream.
Oh my, wow.
Other people in our family go for some other flavors, but chocolate, and then we have some other chocolate here.
Gavin Newsom at the French Laundry.
I should have stood up and walked back, got in my car, and drove back to my house. Instead, I chose to sit there with my wife and a number of other couples that were outside the household. And you can quibble about the guidelines, et cetera, but the spirit of what I'm preaching all the time.
Cori Bush noting that she needs private security.
I have private security because my body is worth being on this planet right now.
AOC's tax the rich dress, the Obama super spreader, which was, of course, sophisticated and vaccinated.
This is a sophisticated vaccinated crowd.
Or John Kerry's famous, it's the only choice for someone like me.
It's the only choice for somebody like me.
I'm going to say, because of how recent it is, I'll say AOC's tax the rich dress.
AOC's tax the rich dress is polling at 11%.
Wow.
In the lead is John Kerry. It's the only choice for someone like me. The Obama super spreader is polling at 25%. 16% say Nancy Pelosi's ice cream. 9% for Cori Bush and only 5% for hopefully the soon to be recalled Gavin Newsom at the French Laundry.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's been so many moments like this. And actually, the mask hypocrisy at the Met in New York, at the Met Gala, is garnering a lot of publicity because parents in New York are so frustrated with the fact that their kids have to wear masks, you know, on the playgrounds and school, and these celebrities don't have to wear them. But then if you look in the background, the staff does have to wear them. And so it's kind of an interesting dynamic. But that wasn't the only one. At the Ground Zero, at the 20th anniversary memorial for 9/11, a lot of those Democrats who were wearing masks, I'm sure you guys saw a lot of those photos, they took them off as soon as the television cameras were off. And you can look at the photos. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, Kirsten Gillibrand, Kathy Hochul, the new governor, they all ripped their masks off and were chatting really close to one another. And it's so predictable. It's all really predictable, but it doesn't get any less frustrating because, I mean, it's how do you go telling people to pay their fair share when you're at an event that you had to buy a $35,000 ticket to? And someone explained to me the science, because everybody there is vaccinated according to the rules in New York, and yet only some people are susceptible to catching this virus. Does it
it's
know?
Science.
Does the virus not infect people who are partaking in high fashion? If I put on some Dolce and Gabbana, is that as good as wearing a mask? Asking for a friend. 844-500-4242. We got Keira Davis from Red State coming up next.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, so for that first segment, we really did talk about the double standards, the hypocrisy. Congresswoman AOC goes to the Met Gala in a dress that says, tax the rich. And my next guest put this really well why this is so frustrating. Keira Davis wrote, I would have enjoyed AOC's attempt at political fashion if I thought it were a tongue-in-cheek troll on the very people applauding her at that event. But they're all clueless. They all think they're above the sentiment. Even her. It's meant for someone else, not them. I think it's meant for us, Keira. And I wouldn't consider myself the rich, but I would consider myself the person AOC wants to tax.
Right. Hi, Grace. Yeah, that's exactly it. I think these people all, look, these people actually view themselves the way they should, the way we all should when we earn our way to a different economic class, right? They view themselves as the people who have worked hard to earn what they have. I know we look at celebrities like they don't work hard, but they actually do a lot. They actually do have a very busy job, I'll say that. And a lot of them started in poverty and worked their way up through the entertainment industry. So they get to the top and they say, well, I'm not one of those rich people. I'm the rich person that worked my way up. So obviously this sentiment isn't for me. It's for every other rich person out there who just like sort of tripped into their money. They believe that everybody besides them who is wealthy hasn't earned it, because that's what narcissists do. And celebrity entertainers are narcissists. So no, they all think they're above it. They all think they're the only ones that have earned this.
Absolutely. And Keira, I do want to get to the recall. I know you're a Californian and you're going to give us all the updates on that. But before I do move on from the Met Gala, I have to ask you if you've been following this story about Nicki Minaj. She basically tweeted out that she wasn't vaccinated, so she was not going to attend the Met Gala. And then she went on to kind of explain why. It was kind of a weird story, anecdotal pretty much. But Joy Reid got a hold of this and blasted her on her show. And Nicki Minaj is now putting up old tweets that Joy Reid had said where she was skeptical of the vaccine. And it's just kind of amazing to me, Keira, that we've gone from, I've seen situations before where a celebrity steps out of line and doesn't go with the left's ideology and they maybe support Trump, let's say. But for Nicki Minaj to get in the line of fire of Joy Reid for just simply expressing skepticism about a vaccine, it really does show you how the tolerant left is not that tolerant of different ideas.
It's not just that they're not tolerant, Grace. It's that they are purposefully obtuse. So, of course, Joy Reid, I think this kind of connects to what I was just saying about the Met Gala and how these people think they're above this. These people look at themselves differently. And I think that Joy Reid has convinced herself that she's on the side of the angels. She's memory holed the whole lead up to the vaccine. When Trump was saying, you know, I'm going to get this vaccine out in the next year, I'm releasing all the red tape, and all of the left went nuts. And they all said, I would never trust a vaccine from Trump. I'll never trust a vaccine from Trump. Joy Reid wants us to forget that. Because when she said that, that was a good thing to say. But now it's a bad thing to say. These people have their own set. This is what this recall is about. This is what anger across the nation is about. This is what the anger towards AOC and that stupid dress is about. Really, Grace, it all boils down to the same thing. People are mad at the double standard. These people hold themselves to a completely different standard than they hold the rest of America, because they genuinely believe that they are better people than us.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right here. And I could think of a million examples. One that's popping to my head is how Jimmy Kimmel made a joke last night about how 1 in 5 of the deaths since last summer have been in Florida. And he said, oh, all of those orphaned ferrets. And like making fun of people who died of COVID, but it's okay, I guess, to him because they're from Florida, so maybe they're Trump supporters. You really do get the sense that morally they think they're better people. And I'm glad you brought up Gavin Newsom, because he's actually a major part of this kind of Marie Antoinette mentality. Obviously, the French Laundry is something that really went nationwide. Everybody heard about that. But tell us a little bit more about, because that was something that, you know, reached me in New England, but people in California have had beef with Gavin Newsom for quite some time. Give my listeners a little bit of a rundown of why he is such a terrible politician.
How much time do you have? I think one of the biggest things here was this this anti-freelancer law, AB5, that came to us last year that Newsom signed. It wasn't his bill, but he signed it. And it really crippled the freelance industry and independent contractor industry here. Millions of Californians in the entertainment industry even lost their job. That's when people were going, oh, okay, this guy, he's supposed to be on our side, but when we're petitioning him, we're his electorate. We're his voters. We're petitioning him to say, hey, I own a children's theater and I've had to shut it down because of this weird bill. Can you please veto it? He was ignoring them, and they realized for the first time that just because they're Democrats doesn't mean the Democrats are on their side. So it started with that. We have an incredibly insane homeless crisis here in the state, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. If you've noticed in the past couple of weeks, Grace, Newsom's been out there doing photo ops, cleaning up homeless camps. That's because that's one of the biggest issues in the state. And, of course, we have this Prop 47, which lowered sentencing and lowered some felonies to misdemeanors. And now we have this rash of violent crime sweeping the state. And, in fact, we let out, I think, another 22,000, I think between 22,000 and 100,000 prisoners due to COVID restrictions. And, of course, there is the COVID restrictions. Schools opening or maybe not opening, a big deal for parents here. So there are issues across the board. French Laundry, that was just the dinner bell, you know? But this was going on long before the French Laundry stuff hit. That was just what tipped a lot of people over to say, okay, I've had enough. My life looks incredibly different from the life guys like Gavin Newsom are leading, and I don't like it.
Right. And it's been interesting over the last couple of weeks because, you know, and I was talking to David Marcus about this. I know he was in California and he said something similar. He was like, you know, it's there's not a lot of passion with this Newsom crowd. It's really just trying to stay above water. But what I noticed yesterday, Kira, is that he had Joe Biden come out to stump for him. I mean, with friends like those, who needs enemies? I don't really know if Joe Biden is going to bring in a lot of voters for Gavin Newsom, but they started talking about Trump again, and it all became about Trump. So even though
that's all there is,
yeah, Trump's not even president anymore. And so the guy who became president for just not being Trump is now hoping that the governor of California can stay in there for not being Trump. I mean, I think they're overestimating people's hatred of Donald Trump at this point.
They may be. I don't know. We'll see today if that strategy works. It's hard to tell. But I will say this. You're absolutely right. It's desperate, right? Because, look, if I'm the governor of California and I think, look, I've done my best for the people of this state and I think I deserve a chance to finish the job, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tell all the people everything I've done for the last 2.5 years, 3 years. I'm going to tout my record. I'm going to say, look, this is a partisan recall because here is the proof, X, Y, Z. But he can't do that, Grace, because every Californian, when they leave their house every single day, is faced with the reality of life in California. They wade through homeless encampments to walk their kids to school. Sometimes some of them have lost their jobs and their businesses. Some of them aren't taking their kids to school because some schools are still closed. They've lost income. They've lost family members who have had to flee the state. They've been the victims of crime and yet have received no justice. So we're living real life out there, and Gavin knows it. He's got nothing to run on except Trump. And this is why the mainstream media keeps bringing up Trump, because the Democrats have nothing. They have nothing to run on. They have no accomplishments. They have no plans. The one plan we saw them put into action in Afghanistan, well, you and I both know how that worked out. So these people have no plans. The only thing they have is not Trump. And I don't know if that's going to be enough.
Yeah.
We're still living real life here every day in California.
I would hope that it's not enough. Kira Davis from Red State, thank you so much for joining us. And Kira, my last question, well, two things. One, let people know, you know, most of our audience is New England, but we have a podcast, so it might hit California. Let people know what they have to do if they want to recall Gavin Newsom. And then the second thing that I would like to ask is, what do you see happening here? Your best prediction. I know it's unpredictable, but just give us a little taste of what you're hoping.
Well, you can find my podcast, Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis, wherever you find your podcast. That's a podcast for everyone. And in fact, I do believe it's a podcast you can share with your liberal friends and family. and feel safe about doing that. And I hope it'll open some discussions. You can find my work at redstate.com. But, yeah, so today what I'm hoping is going to happen is that we're going to see that the most recent polling is wrong. The most recent polling has Gavin maybe beating this by 6 or 7 points. We don't think that that's an accurate poll. Over 5 million mail-in ballots have already been received. We don't know what they say, and Democrats typically tend to vote early. So we're not quite sure the percentage of those votes that are going to be yes on the recall. What we're hoping today is that a lot of Californians who aren't trusting the mail-in ballot are going to go in today, cast their ballot, and that's going to push us over the line for 50 plus one on this yes on the recall question. So I hate to make predictions. I really don't. I think that there is a good chance Gavin Newsom gets recalled today. But I also think there's a good chance that this goes on for a couple of weeks, because we're already seeing some reports of ballot fraud. There are people trying to vote in Simi Valley who are being told when they get to the polls that they've already voted. That's legally documented, so there will definitely be some challenges there, should it be close. And then just a couple of weeks ago, a felon was found with guns and drugs in his car and 300 mail-in ballots.
I remember that.
There's shenanigans going on. Yeah. So we're hoping that we can, it can be decisive enough so we don't have to litigate this. But if we have to litigate it, we will, because we're doing this on behalf of the people. If you're not in California, I just ask that you pray for us today. I believe prayer moves mountains. And so if you're a person of faith, I ask that you don't make fun of us or tell us that we're getting what we deserve because we're stupid voters or whatever. I ask that you just humbly entreat our Creator to let justice prevail today. That's what we need, and that's what you can do right where you are.
Beautifully said, Kira Davis from Red State. We will be praying for all of you guys, and I hope you guys come out on top. And the other thing I'd say, Kira, is if he does get recalled today, treat yourself to a nice scotch at the French Laundry. I think that would be a very fitting way to celebrate. Kira, thanks again. We hope
I'll
to have you on
the
soon.
Governor the bill. Thanks, Grace.
It's true what they say, a perfect smile is change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. I'm actually booking another appointment at Perfect Smiles for my cleaning before my wedding, because it really is a great experience there. Even if you don't want to get your whole smile redone, just going there for a cleaning, they're exceptional. Howie always used to say to me, if you go to Perfect Smiles, yeah, it's the best cleaning you'll ever have. And I was like, yeah. And then I went and I came in. I said, Howie, that was the best cleaning I've ever had. So make sure you check them out. It's amazing. And if you are interested in getting your smile redone, I can tell you that they do amazing work. And you don't have to take my word for it. Go to perfectsmiles.com and check out their testimonial videos. Howie's on there. A lot of people who were just insecure about their smile, who put it off for a long time, and then who walked out of that office and really their lives were changed because they felt so much better. Your confidence goes up. It just changes your entire life. So all you have to do is go to perfectsmiles.com, check out their video testimonials. They're located in Nashua, New Hampshire, and a lot of free parking. The staff is fabulous. So make sure you check them out. If you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, contact them today. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
I love having Kira Davis on because she's in California and she gives us all the updates on what's happening. But I'm glad she brought up that Gavin Newsom over the last couple of weeks has been going to like homeless places, you know, underpasses of under the bridges, and he's picking up trash. And I remember the last time I had Kira Davis on, she said, yeah, the videos of him picking up the trash remind me of when I ask my teenage son to clean up his room. Like, you know, he doesn't want to be there doing it, but he's doing it begrudgingly. And there are videos of Gavin Newsom, like, taking a tire and hucking it into a dumpster. He's so mad. that the people don't like him and that he's being called out for being such a bad politician. So I'm really hoping that California makes this happen. Now, in the next hour, I'm going to open up the phone lines for everybody, 844-500-4242. We're going to take your calls on everything from AOC to, we have a lot of Anthony Blinken sound. He's at Capitol Hill today, and he's just, he has two settings, you know, and Howie would appreciate this. He has two settings. One is, I can't answer that because it's an ongoing investigation, very Billy Bulger-esque. I can't answer that because it's still, you know, it's still under works. It's the biggest cop-out ever at these hearings. They can never answer anything because it's still ongoing. And then the second one is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And both of them are pretty pathetic. But we have a really good sound cut of him trying to answer this drone strike situation, which, P.S., none of the networks seemed to cover yesterday. They're saying that this big drone strike that was all in the effort to make Joe Biden look like a tough guy, because the push-ups and, you know, threatening to beat people up behind the gym just wasn't working. And the slow jogs out to the podium with the Ray-Bans on and the mask just wasn't doing it anymore. So they said, let's do a righteous drone strike. And it turns out that they didn't, I don't think they killed an ISIS-K terrorist. Instead, they killed an aid worker who was delivering water. Rand Paul asks Anthony Blinken about this. We'll save that cut for the other side, but you definitely want to stay tuned for that. 844-500-4242. But before we wrap up this hour, I do want to play here. I was giving you guys a little update on the Nicki Minaj of it all. If you don't know Nicki Minaj, she is a rapper, and she was tweeting about how she wasn't getting vaccinated for the Met Gala. It's very unfortunate for her because she could have been lectured about white privilege from Megan Rapinoe and maybe talked about paying her fair share with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So she really did miss out on a lot. But she said it's because of a story about a friend of a friend of a friend. I don't really know the whole story, but it's something to do with someone got vaccinated and has swollen privates. A man. And yeah. And Joy Reid was very upset that she's spreading this. Because, you know, she's a celebrity. She's part of the woke crowd. She's supposed to only spread the things that Joy Reid tells her is okay. So listen to Joy Reid cut 13.
People like Nicki Minaj, I have to say this. You have a platform, sister, that is 22 million followers. Okay, I have 2 million followers. You have 22 million followers on Twitter. For you to use your platform to encourage our community to not protect themselves and save their lives, my God, sister, you could do better than that. You got that platform. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that you got that, that people listen to you. And they listen to you more than they listen to me. For you to use your platform to put people in the position of dying from a disease they don't have to die from. Oh, my God. As a fan, as a hip hop fan, as somebody who was your fan, I'm so sad that you did that. So sad that you did that, sister. Oh, my God.
And she's pandering too. Like she has to throw in, you know, I'm so sad that you did that, sister. And Nicki Minaj wasn't buying it. Nicki Minaj is not a fan of Joy Reid. I can tell you that right now. And so Nicki Minaj put up two posts side by side. One of them was an old tweet from Joy Reid. And this is how it reads. I mean, will anyone at all ever fully trust the CDC again? And who on God's earth would trust a vaccine approved by the US FDA? How do we get a vaccine distributed after this broken Trumpist nonsense has infected everything, even if Biden wins? That was Joy Reid. Now she's lecturing Nicki Minaj. And the other one that Nicki posted, the Joy Reid controversy from homophobic blog post to a hacking claim explained. Don't come for Queen Nicki Minaj unless you plan on really winning that argument. We'll be back with a little bit of Anthony Blinken. Don't go anywhere.